welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Coming up in this hour, comedy from two traditional radio rivals, Fred Allen and later on Jack Benny. We'll get to The Fred Allen Show now, in his second-to-last season on the air, heard on November 28, 1948 on NBC. Special guest, former vaudevillian comedian George Jessel.
The Ford Dealers of America present The Fred Allen Show. It's Sunday night again, and Fred Allen drives up to keep his weekly date at the corner of Main Street. As Fred locks his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Mr. Allen!
Portland, gosh, Portland. Say, I'm sorry. I'm late, Portland. I had to stop in at the National Surety Corporation.
Why?
Well, I canceled the bond we've had for the giveaway programs.
Aren't the listeners insured anymore?
No, Portland. After 8 weeks of insuring our listeners, we haven't had one legitimate claim.
No letters?
Well, we've had hundreds of letters. One man named Frank Gould lost his pocketbook in Europe last summer and wanted us to send him the money he lost. A shop owner out in California lost two rug customers while he was listening to the program. He wanted the $22 profit he would have made on the sale. And we had a letter from a woman in Sioux City. She said, why do giveaway programs bother with radio shows? Why don't they just mail the money out to people and save all that trouble? Well, enough about the giveaway, Imglick, Portland. What's a word which I will translate later in the program. What is new?
The dock strike is over.
Oh, I read that.
Mama said when the dock strike started, 20 strikers were drowned.
How could 20 strikers drown?
When the strikers walked off the dock, they walked in the wrong direction.
Oh, I don't know. That news I don't think is reliable, Portland. I am going to buy my own paper.
Can I go with you?
Why, sure. Let's take a walk down Main Street.
Let's.
Come on here.
Paper say?
Hey, look at this. Mr. and Mrs. James Mason had a baby girl born on Thanksgiving Day.
That's funny.
What's funny?
Instead of a turkey on Thanksgiving, the Masons had a stork.
Yes, it is. Not as funny as you thought, I don't know. What you should never preface a joke with, that's funny. You may be sadly awakened at the end of it. Look here, what do you know? The Masons are naming the little girl the baby Portland.
Someday the Mason's baby may grow up to be the capital of Oregon.
Well, that's possible, and good luck. Say, here's an item, Portland. Look at this. It says radio comedy is suffering from monotony, undernourishment, and repetition.
I wonder how people feel about radio comedy.
Well, let's ask a few people now as we're walking along Main Street. This man coming with the sickle in the alligator case. Pardon me, sir.
I am Sergei Stroganov, dance critic on Russia's outstanding tabloid Pravda.
You say you are the dance critic?
I am in America with Russian ballet.
Oh.
In Russia, we are having the greatest ballet dancers.
How come?
Everybody in Russia is on their toes.
Oh, that,
I am studying America.
Studying?
The happiest people in America I am meeting in the subway.
In the subway?
It is like Russia.
You mean the people?
Always they are happy in the underground.
Well, tell me, Sergei, how about radio in Russia? Do you have a shortwave?
In Russia, we are short of everything.
Well, what is radio like in Russia?
All day long is different programs, occasionally entertaining.
Oh, really? What programs?
Stalin Faces Life.
Yes.
Front Page Stalin.
Yes.
Just Plain Joe. Yes. The mystery chef who is later taking off his mask and surprise...
Who is it?
Stalin.
Tell me, what about singing?
On the hit parade is Bing Stalin.
Bing Stalin?
Always he is dedicating songs to the leaders of other countries.
What leaders?
To Chiang Kai-shek, Stalin is singing, I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China.
Well, tell me, Sergei, what about comedy? You know, comedy in Russian radio.
In Russia, we have a comedian. He is very funny.
Something like Bob Hope?
In Russia, there is no hope.
Well, who is your comedian?
Who else? Stalin.
You,
Stalin is cracking jokes and doubling over with laughing.
The jokes are funny, eh?
The jokes don't have to be funny.
Why not?
Comrade, in Russia, when Stalin is laughing...
Yes?
Everybody is laughing.
Fine.
You bore me. Long live the coming for.
So long, Sergei. Say, it's a nice night to walk down Main Street, Portland Stars.
Look at the sign in that haberdashery.
What sign?
Our socks look better on your feet than they do on our hands.
Say, you fixed that up, too. You left a Y out of there, which would have made a question out of it. Why are the socks on our feet better? Hey, look, look who's coming.
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, bub.
Well, Mr. Moody, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Why, the last thing I remember, my brother Huber come by for dinner.
Oh, yes?
To celebrate, I brought out a keg of hard cider.
A hard cider, hey?
All morning, we sat around sipping and talking over old times.
I see.
Long about noon, Huber, he put down his cider mug and he says, Titus, there is power in that keg.
Yeah?
Next thing I knowed, Huber says, I'm a beaver.
I'm a beaver?
Yeah. And then he started gnawing the treadle on the melodeon.
Huber was loaded, eh?
Huber was loaded and he had his tailboard up.
What did he do?
I took Huber's teeth out and locked him in the closet.
Say, that was some Thanksgiving. Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think comedy on the radio is suffering from monotony, undernourishment, and repetition?
I only listen to one program on the radio.
Oh, really? Which program?
Lem and Clem.
Lem and Clem, eh?
One fella plays the Reuben and the other fella plays the booby.
What do they do?
Oh, they're always pulling jokes. Lem will say to Clem, Clem, why is a pig's tail like 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
And then Clem, he'll say, 'cause it's twirly.
you like Lem and Clem, eh?
The worst things I've ever heard. So long.
Well, come on, Portland.
Wait till I smell what they're making in the candy store.
Oh, stop smelling that candy. Your nose will get fat.
Don't we know this little woman coming?
Oh, this little woman using 2 clam shells for ear laps? We certainly do. It's Mrs. Nussbaum.
So who is paging me? Oh, always it's you.
Yes, eh? You look happy tonight, Mrs. Nussbaum.
Why not? I'm just coming from my psychiatrist.
Oh, you have to go to a psychiatrist?
Well, every night I'm dreaming.
Oh, you're dreaming?
Always it is the same dream.
What is your dream?
Always it is a bake shop.
A bake shop, eh?
Curled up, lying in the window, I am a bagel.
A bagel?
And the window is filled with bread, long loaves.
Uh-huh.
And always the bread to me is trying to sing something.
Yes?
Always I am not understanding.
Well, did the psychiatrist interpret your dream?
In 2 visits.
Oh, in 2 visits. What is the reason that you, the bagel, cannot understand the long loaves of bread?
It is French bread.
Oh, my God. You should have a cruller there to interpret for you. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, about radio comedy, do you think it is suffering from monotony?
By me, every week is sounding similar, the jokes.
Oh, what program do you listen to?
Jack Benny. Oh.
Do you think Jack Benny's program is always the same?
What's changing?
Well...
Always is starting the program, Mr. F.E. Bloom of Lexington, Kentucky. Always is coming on Don Wilstein, first again with Tabasco Man.
Yeah.
Always is singing a quartet.
Yeah.
And as the program is ending, a voice is saying, Jack Benny will coming back in just a minute.
And then what happens?
Who knows?
You mean?
Enough is enough already.
Enough?
Before Jack Benny is coming,
yes?
I am going. Thank you.
Here Well, you sure run into some strange characters on Main Street, Portland.
You haven't found out anything about radio comedy, have you?
No, not up to now. Well, look, I'll try this man coming along wearing the rubber gloves and carrying the live wire for a cane. Pardon me, bud.
Rejoice, brother. My name is Humphrey Titter.
Humphrey Titter?
I'm the joy boy. Stand back, brother. I'll let go a bluebird.
I remember you, Titter. Titter, you write unusual greeting cards and jingles.
Ah, yes. Everybody sends out cards to couples getting married.
Yes, and you?
I send out cards to people getting divorced.
Divorced?
Congratulations, Sam, old boy. Now you've dumped that Jane. Coming back from Reno, you'll ride the freedom train.
Very good, Humphrey.
Rejoice, brother. You can be happy as a cricket. Try rubbing your legs together.
Look, Mr. Titter, what about the monotony of radio comedy?
I have the solution.
Good.
I'll write a jingle. Take this down.
What's the title?
Farewell.
Farewell.
Farewell to you, old radio jokes. I can stand you no longer. California weather and Airwick. Azusa and Cucamonga. Who's on first? Jolson's age. How big is Durante's nose? Cantor with his five daughters. How sloppy are Crosby's clothes? Allen's Alley, the mean widow kid. Sinatra looking so bony. Fibber McGee and his closet. Tell me, which twin has the Tony? Coming, mother. Listen, Gracie. At long last, I've made my decision. So farewell to you old radio jokes. I'm turning to television.
So long, Mr. Titter.
Rejoice, brother.
Well, come on, come on. He didn't let go of the bluebird. I was watching him all the time. Let's go.
Look, there's an ad for Ray Bolger's show, Where's Charlie?
Remember that song Ray sings in the show, Once in Love with Amy?
How does it go?
Oh, well, some Sunday I'll have Al Goodman and his orchestra play it, and the five DeMarcos sing Once in Love with Amy for you, Portland. You know, I think it'll sound something like this.
Always in love with Amy. Ever and ever fascinated by her. Set your heart afire to stay. Oh,
once you're kissed by Amy.
Tear up your list, it's Amy. Flyer with bonbons, poetry and flowers. Moon a million hours away. Might be quite the fickle-hearted rover, so carefree and bold, who loves a girl and later thinks it over and just quits love. But once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy. Trouble is a fella named Jim, and Amy'd rather stay in love with him. Amy's in love with Jim.
Come on now, I'm late.
Late for what?
Well, I have to meet Georgie Jessel at Lindy's. He sent me a note.
Is George Jessel still a big movie producer at 20th Century Fox?
Portland, Mr. Zanuck, the head of the studio, doesn't make a move without Jessel. Before Mr. Zanuck produced that picture, Snake Pit, for 6 months he had Georgie coiled up in a box with a cobra.
I wonder what George Jessel wants to see you about.
Well, here's Lindy's. Let's go in and find out.
Oh, I have to meet Mama at the automat.
Oh, come on, come on. You can have a sandwich at Lindy's.
I can't. Mama has two slots reserved at the automat.
Oh, well, then you're back.
Good night.
Good night, Portland. Well, Lindy's are sure crowded tonight. I wonder where...
Well, hello, friend.
Georgie Jessel. Georgie, I got your note.
Well, Fred, sit down. I was just going to order dinner. You can watch me.
Oh. But, Georgie...
Wait a minute, I'll call a waiter. Hey, waiter! Hey, Bluebird, come over here.
Yes, sir.
Waiter, I'd like a nice knish.
Knish?
What is a knish?
Georgie, a waiter in Lindy's, and he doesn't know what a knish is?
Well, he's new here, you
see.
Yesterday, I asked for herring. He didn't know what a herring was.
Oh.
Had to tell him that a herring is a Bronx barracuda.
Well, perhaps you would better tell him what a knish is.
Well, I will. Now, look, waiter, a knish is a little thing. It looks like a half a ladyfinger, and it weighs 200 pounds. If you eat two of them, you can't get up. That's what it is.
Georgie, is that why Lindy's is full all the time?
Yes, but people come in, they eat two knishes and cannot get out of their chairs.
Oh, I often wondered.
Yes, so 20 years ago, Lindy himself ate three knishes, and to this day, he has never left a restaurant, believe me.
Georgie, I don't think you'd better not eat a knish.
All right, I think I'll have something light. Waiter, bring me a baked watermelon.
Yes, sir.
Oh, trouble, trouble, trouble. I should have eaten on the train.
Oh, you were on the train?
Well, of course. I just got back from Washington. Ooh. I had an appointment with the president.
The president?
Uh-huh.
Georgie, not the cabinet.
Who knows? Marshall may be leaving. Anything can happen, Fred, you know.
But, Georgie,
I can see the headlines now. UN endorses the Jessel plan.
The Jessel plan?
It'll be bigger than the Jolson story. And the UN can do it without Larry Parks. That'll be something, too.
Look, Georgie, while you're waiting for your baked watermelon, what is it? What did you want to see me
about?
Well,
Fred, this is about my new picture playing at the Roxy Theater. It's called When My Baby Smiles at Me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you could mention it on your radio program.
Oh,
I don't mean the whole half hour, Fred. I mean, just mention my picture once, maybe instead of the commercial.
Well, Georgie, I can't leave out the Ford commercial.
What do you need every week with a commercial? Believe me, everybody knows that the 49 Ford is a great car.
Well, that's right, Georgie.
All right, so just one week, next Sunday, instead of Ford, you mention my picture. Who'll know the difference? Only you and me.
And 6,400 Ford dealers.
All right, but Fred, my new picture stars Betty Grable and Dan Daly.
Georgie, how can I possibly talk about your picture? I haven't even seen it.
Fred, you will see it tonight. You're coming with me to the Roxy. I've got two passes.
Two passes? Well,
yeah,
all right.
Wait a minute. Here's the waiter.
Here you are, sir.
Fred, how do you like this waiter?
What?
He brought me a knish.
A knish?
Don't even know what a baked watermelon is.
Say, Georgie, it's getting late. Look at the
car. All right, come on, Fred. We'll miss the picture. We'd better get to the Roxy right away.
Let's go, George.
Well, here we are, Fred, right at the Roxy Theater.
Gosh, look at that crowd,
Georgie.
The show
is just about to start, folks, on the screen When My Baby Smiles at Me, starring Betty Grable and Dan Daly.
The box office is over here, Georgie.
Yeah, wait a minute, Fred. I want to speak to that boy. Hey, Mr. Barker.
Yes, sir.
Listen, okay, Fred, let's go.
The show is just about to start, folks, on the screen When My Baby Smiles at Me, produced by Georgie Jessel.
Georgie, what? What became of Dan Daly and Betty Grable?
How do you like that? If you promise a guy a screen test, right away he starts yelling your name all over the screen.
Come on, I'll get the tickets.
What tickets? I'm the producer. I've got passes. We'll exchange them here at the box office.
Oh, good.
Pardon me, miss.
How many, please?
I'd like to exchange these passes.
Sorry, but I can't take no passes.
Well, these are perfectly good, miss.
Yeah, that's what some guy said last night. I wound up with two tickets to a Wallace rally.
But, miss, these passes are signed by Daryl Zanuck.
I don't care if they're signed by Thunderhead. I want to see the show, you're paying $1.40 like everybody else.
Georgie, tell her who you are.
Miss, it so happens that I am Georgie Jessel.
So what?
What so what? I produced the picture that they're showing inside.
What picture?
When My Baby Smiles at Me.
When did we change?
You don't even know what picture you're showing?
How should I know? My back is to the theater. Now, beat it with them passes. You're holding up the line. How
many,
please?
All right, okay. How much is it?
For two, you'll be $3.20.
Miss, you said $1.40. $2.40s is $2.80.
While your friend was stalling, the price has changed. It's $3.20.
All right, miss. Fred, give her the $3.20.
Okay, Georgie, you've got your mittens on. Here's $5, miss.
Here's your change.
All right, I'll take the tickets, Fred. Let's go in.
Tickets, please.
Here you are.
Main floor, straight ahead for all seats.
Come on, Fred.
Okay, Georgie.
Get in line, please.
Usher, two seats, please.
This aisle is full. You'll have to get in line.
Usher, I am Georgie Jessel.
Mr. Jessel, Usher, produce the picture.
Next aisle to your right, sir.
Thank you. See, Fred? Just mentioned a name.
It sure worked, Georgie.
Oh, sir.
Next aisle to the right, sir.
It's just one aisle over, Fred.
I'm coming, George.
Next aisle to the right.
This is the last aisle, Fred.
Right through this door, sir.
Thank you.
Georgie, we're out on 50th Street.
Well, how do you like that?
Banging this door, you bums. There's a picture going on in here.
We know that.
We came here to see the picture.
Well, this is an exit. The box office is on 7th Avenue. You'll have to get a ticket.
We've got tickets.
Yes, he has the stuff.
Well, you can't come through this door.
We came out this door.
You sent us out, remember?
It's so dark in here, I can't see faces. Every head to me is just a lump.
Georgie, tell him who you are.
Look, Usher, I am Georgie Jessel. Yeah.
Georgie Jessel? I just saw your name on the screen.
How do you like that, Fred? The picture started, you've already missed the best part.
Georgie, if the rest is a letdown, I tell you, I'll see it some other time.
Oh, no. Fred, you sing my picture tonight. Usher, be a good fella. Let us black in.
Well, it means breaking my Usher's oath, but all right, come on.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else I can do for you, Mr.
We
Jessel?
Just want to see.
Yes.
Next aisle to your left.
Oh, no, you don't. We've been all through that.
But this aisle is full, Mr. Jessel.
Georgie, why don't we just stand?
Now, look, Fred, have you forgotten who you're with? You're not only going to see the picture, you're going to see it sitting down.
Sitting where?
Have you tried upstairs, Mr. Jessel?
That's a good idea. Now, how do we get upstairs?
That stairway, back of the Dixie Cups, leads to the mezzanine.
All right, Dixie Schmixie, thanks. Come on, let's go, Fred.
All right, Georgie. Well, here we are in the mezzanine, Georgie.
Well, we'll get some action now.
Shh, here's the usher.
Yes, sir, can I help you?
Yes. Two seats, usher, please.
May I see your stubs?
Here they are.
Oh, shame on you, sir. Shame on you.
Who's smoking?
What's wrong, usher?
This is the mezzanine, the loge seat.
So what?
Your tickets are for the lower floor.
Well, how do we get tickets to sit up here?
You'll have to go back to the box office.
All right, you stay here, Fred. You rest yourself. I'll go down to the box office.
I wouldn't advise it, sir.
Why not?
There aren't any loge seats right now.
No seats?
Georgie, as long as there aren't any seats...
Fred, you're going to see my picture if I have to get two Morris chairs.
Sorry, no Morris chairs allowed in the mezzanine.
Usher, do you know who I am?
You're Georgie Jessel.
Well, how did you know?
Oh, word's gotten around.
Well, look, Usher, I produced this picture. I was on my feet day and night. 7 days a week for 12 months. I'm a tired man, and I'd like to sit down.
Well, you can't sit here. Why don't you try the balcony?
How do we get to the balcony?
You're left behind the candy counter, four flights up.
Fires on Brenn. All right, come on. Let's go, Fred.
To the balcony?
They know I'm here. They're probably holding something open.
Well, let's go and find out. Gosh, Georgie, this balcony's pretty high. My nose is bleeding. Look, George, the stage is a mile away. Who's that on the screen?
Wait a minute. I think it's Dan Daly.
From here, he looks like Lassie.
Look, as soon as we get two seats, I will rent a couple of telescopes.
Oh.
See, it will be all right. Oh, Usher.
Your stubs, please.
Usher, I'm Georgie Jessel.
Glad to meet you, sir. I'm Horace Treadwell. Your stubs, please.
Looky, Horace, we'd like a couple of seats.
Yeah. Next aisle to your right, sir.
Now, wait a minute. This could be dangerous. Is there a door up here?
Are there any seats up here?
No, sir.
Georgie, I've had enough. I want my money back.
Now, Fred, I produced the picture. We've got tickets. We're going to get seats. Horace, where's the manager's office?
On the main floor, Mr. Jessel.
All right, thank you, Horace. Let's go, Fred.
Oh, boy, the main floor. Now, when do I get my money?
Stop with the money, Fred. We're going to get seats. Now, here's the sign, manager's office.
Yes?
Pardon me, I'm looking for the manager.
Georgie Jessel.
Well, Joe Hawkins, you old son of a gun. You're the manager?
Georgie, I heard you were making a tour of the theater. Well, how'd you like it?
Oh.
How did I like it?
The theater is great, only one thing. Say, did you ever think of putting in two more seats?
Two more seats? I'll make a note of that.
Never mind the seats. What about my money?
George, who is this?
Well, this is Fred Allen, a friend of mine.
Oh. Georgie, I expect two seats to open up in the orchestra any minute.
Oh, nice work, Joe. Thank you.
A couple of Bobby Soxers dropped their lunch on the way in this morning. They've been sitting inside for 10 hours with no food. They can't last much longer.
They can still last longer than I can. I want my money back.
You want your money back?
Yes, I want my money back.
You'll get your money back. But it's going to look mighty bad on the report.
What report?
The report to the front office. one refund on When My Baby Smiles at Me. Mr. Zanuck's going to think somebody didn't like the picture. Who produced the picture? Georgie Jessel.
But I didn't see the picture.
Alan, you call yourself Georgie's friend. You're sticking a knife right in his back.
Georgie?
He's right, Fred.
I'm sticking a knife in your back?
The handle is showing.
Georgie, I paid $3.20 to see your picture. I didn't see your picture. I would like to have my money back.
Gad, he's stubborn.
Yes, I'm stubborn.
Now, wait a minute, fella. Wait a minute. I'll fix this. I'll tell you what we'll do. Joe, can you get Fred a bag of popcorn?
Sure. Here's the bag right here. I just finished popping it.
Fine. Here you are, Fred. There's plenty of butter in it, too.
Georgie,
now, go ahead.
Georgie, nobody eats popcorn just to eat popcorn. People only eat popcorn when they're watching a picture.
Now, sit down, Fred. Eat your popcorn. I'll tell you the story of my picture. Are you ready?
Now, wait till I get my popcorn open. Okay, Georgie. I'm ready.
Well, When My Baby Smiles at Me is the story of a great love. Dan Daly is in love with Betty Grable. Give me some. As the picture starts, Dan Daly is on the stage singing,
"For when my baby smiles at me, my heart goes roaming to paradise." Yes, sir. And when my...
Before we close up shop, your Ford dealer wants to give you a safety reminder. The highways are extra crowded this weekend, and he hopes that you'll drive with extra caution. In almost all traffic accidents, someone has violated the law. So observe all the rules, be alert and careful. The life you save may be your own. Next week, our guest will be Henry Morgan, a friend of Jack Eigen's. Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Fred Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from November 28, 1948 on NBC. You might have noticed Fred being a bit bitter with radio, as he was with the state of radio comedy and radio programs in general. He would go off the air the following year due to a game show that promised to call listeners at home called Stop the Music, and happened to be scheduled at the same time as Fred Allen's program, and the tremendous cash prize was too much for him to compete with. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levinier. And now radio rival of Fred, Jack Benny, is on the air. Normally that would present a problem if two comedians were bantering back and forth across networks, but for many years they were both on NBC and worked for the same advertising agency, J. Walter Thompson. At this point in Benny's career, he had been lured over to the CBS, and we'll hear a broadcast from that network next from August 23rd, 1953.
The Jack Benny Program. Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, immediately after this radio show, Jack Benny will do another of his monthly television programs. But in the meantime, let's go back to last Monday when Jack returned from a successful personal appearance at the Kern Theater in San Francisco. As we look in on Jack, he's at home going over some mementos of his theater appearance.
7,098. 7,099.
What are you doing, boss?
Oh, I'm just checking over the number of programs you sold during my engagement in San Francisco.
I thought I sold quite a lot of them.
Oh, you did, Rochester, and those programs made wonderful souvenirs. They had my biography and pictures of my entire life in them.
I know. Say, boss, in that picture on the second page, was that man standing beside you your father?
No, he was my violin teacher, and he had just finished giving me a lesson.
But why were you wearing that big floppy hat?
That's not a hat. It's my violin. The teacher just broke it over my head. He was very impulsive, you know.
Very impulsive.
Hello, Polly. I'm glad you're home from the pet shop. Now, Rochester, I hope you put away all the things I brought from San Francisco.
I did that this morning.
And did you do what I told you to do about laying out all my clothes and calling the cleaner to get them?
I did that, too.
Good. Now, go upstairs and make sure I didn't leave anything in my clothes. Go through the pockets.
Again!
Oh, you went through the pockets already?
Twice. Once with the hands and once with the magnet.
Well, never mind. Do it again. You take care of my clothes. I'll answer the door.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Welcome home.
Well, it's nice being home.
Good to see you again.
Thanks, kid.
I hurried over as soon as I heard you were back.
You did?
Yeah. Gosh, have I got something to tell you.
What, Dennis? What? What?
I'm quitting your show.
You're quitting the show?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, Dennis. What's wrong this time? Don't you like the material you get on the program?
Oh, I think the lines they give me are very funny.
Well, don't you like the short hours you have to work?
Well, they're fine.
Well, don't you like the musical arrangements I get you for your songs?
I think they're wonderful.
Then for heaven's sakes, kid, what's the matter?
I don't like you.
After 14 years, you suddenly found out you don't like me.
I didn't like you when I first met you.
Look, Dennis, let's drop this silly talk. You can't quit.
Well, I'm gonna quit.
Well, you can't. Your contract still has 41 years more to run.
Oh, boy, that's what I like, security.
Yeah, security. Now, let me hear the song you're gonna do on Sunday's show. Hold it a second, Dennis. Hello?
Hi, Jack. This is Bob Crosby.
Oh, hello, Bob. When'd you get home from San Francisco?
Oh, who's home? I'm still up here.
Well, how come? I thought you were supposed to get back here yesterday.
Oh, yeah, but San Francisco has fascinated the boys in the band so much that I can't get them to leave.
Well, what's so fascinating to the boys in the band?
Well, Remley's absolutely amazed at all the steep hills in San Francisco.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the first time Frankie's been sober in the city cockeyed.
That I can believe. But look, when are you coming home?
Tomorrow. I tried to get the fellas to leave here tonight, but Bagby's giving a little party.
What kind of party is he giving?
Well, it's not exactly a party. He's invited the rest of the band to watch him jump off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Now, wait a minute, Bob. Wait. I know that Bagby has certain peculiarities. I can understand him wearing gloves when he plays the piano because he doesn't want to leave his fingerprints on anything. I can even understand him not wanting to ever sit in a chair because of the way his uncle died. So why should he want to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge?
Oh, he did it yesterday and he liked it.
He liked it?
Yeah, he thinks those Whitecaps are Brew 102.
Look, Bob, this is all very funny, but a man doesn't phone long distance just to tell jokes. Now, what do you want?
Well, Jack, to tell you the truth, I've run out of money and I need some to get back to Los Angeles.
Well, Bob, you don't need any money to get back here. All you have to do is get a road map, stand out on the highway, and motorists will pick you up.
Jack, a man in my position can't hitchhike.
Wait a minute, Bob, wait a minute. On second thought, maybe you shouldn't hitchhike. I'll send you the money. Where are you staying?
Uncle Dan's Mission.
Oh, well, I'll wire it to you. So long, Bob.
Bye.
Okay, Dennis, let me hear your song, huh?
Yes, sir. If I love you, a meadow.
brought me just a lover's lay. If I miss you at ocean, can't you miss me just a drop of April rain? Are you my forevermore? Forevermore you are. So if I love you forever, can you love me just an
song sounds great, you know? I don't know what it is, but your voice gets better and better. You know, you're not only one of the best singers. Or... that kid gets sillier every day.
Every day, every day.
Quiet, Polly. Gee, I don't know what to do today. I think,
Mr. Billy, it's nearly lunchtime. Would you like me to get you something to eat?
No, I'm not hungry. Maybe later.
Okay. By the way, what happened to Mr. Day?
He left.
Oh, then if we're alone, there's something I want to ask you.
What is it?
I want to ask you for a raise.
Again?
Look, Rochester, you can forget it. I'll answer the door. Hi, Dal.
Hello, Jack.
I wasn't expecting you.
Well, I didn't intend dropping in, but I wanted to mail this letter, and I'm out of stamps. Do you have any left?
Oh, sure. They're in the next room, then. There they are.
Thanks.
Throw the folder in the waste basket. Why are you surprised? Who's the letter? Who's the letter to?
My mother. I'm answering one I received from her this morning.
Oh, you got a letter from your mother?
Yeah, would you like to hear it?
Certainly. What does get lost little Sheba have to say?
Well, here it is. I'll read it to you.
Okay.
My darling daughter Mary, just a short note to let you know that all is going well here on the farm. And before I forget, I want to thank you for the lovely gift. Your Aunt Sophie is breaking her engagement with her boyfriend. It's probably just as well she broke it off. Now she won't have to go and see him on visiting day anymore. That constant kissing through the wire screen made her face look like waffles.
Yeah, most women use pancake makeup. She just uses pancakes.
No other news. No other news except that I hope you saw your Uncle Willie on television last Sunday. He appeared on What's My Line and won $50.
Gee.
None of the experts could guess that he was a bum.
Well, good for Uncle Willie. He could use the $50. Also, the bottle of Stop-It. Incidentally, he could also use...
Jack, please. There's a PS. Oh, and it's about you.
Well, read it. Read it, kid.
Okay. Mary, I read in Variety that Jack really had a successful engagement up at San Francisco and made a lot of money. I'm so happy for him because this is what he always wanted.
Your mother can kid me if she wants to, Mary, but I had a swell time in San Francisco.
I know, Jack. We all did. Well, I better be running along now.
Wait a minute, Mary. I haven't anything to do this afternoon. Maybe we'll take a walk or something.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I can't. This is near the end of the season, and I've got to go downtown and audition for a job.
Oh, really? What company, CBS or NBC?
M-A-Y.
Oh, well, lots of luck, Mary. I hope you get what you want. Goodbye.
Bye, Jack.
Would you like some lunch now, Mr. Benny?
No, I'm still not hungry. Gee, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go play golf or just sit around.
Well, why don't you just relax and read a book?
Well, I've read all my books.
Well, you can go to the library and borrow some new ones.
Hey, that's a good idea. Rochester, you get the car. No, it's only a short distance. Such a nice day. I'll walk. I'll see you later, Rochester.
Goodbye, boss.
Goodbye, boss.
Oh, say, that reminds me, Rochester.
Yes, sir?
This afternoon, I want you to give Polly a bath.
Again?
Yes, again. I'll see you later. My, but it's nice and quiet in the library. Peaceful, too. Oh, there's the librarian. I'll have to see her about getting a card.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, miss. I'd like to join the library.
Oh, you'd like to take out a library card?
Yes, and the librarian, too.
Now, if you want to get a card, you'll have to give me some information. Your name?
Jack Benny.
Your address?
366 North Camden Drive.
Your age?
39.
39?
Yeah.
You haven't worn well, have you?
Well, I worry a lot.
Well, here's your card, Mr. Benny. Now, as you know, this is a public library, and each book you borrow may be kept free for 3 weeks. However, for each day after that, we fine you 2 cents.
Oh. And if I bring the book back before the 3 weeks are up, do you give me 2 cents a day?
Of course not.
What a racket. Now, where would I find some of the...
Oh, Jack! Jack! Oh, Jack, I'm glad you're still here.
Oh, Don, how'd you know where I was?
Well, I dropped over to your house and Rochester told me you'd gone to the library.
But, Don, I just got here myself. How'd you get here so fast?
The Sportsman Quartet and I rode over here in my MG.
Wait a minute. The Four Sportsmen and you in an MG?
Yeah, I was low man on the totem pole.
Well, what was so important that you had to see me now?
Well, Jack, the Sportsmen have a new number they've rehearsed, and they'd like you to hear it.
Now, wait a minute. They can't sing here. This is a library.
Certainly not.
Well, this will only take a minute.
But, Don, look at that sign. It says, don't talk, whisper.
It's wonderful, Jack. The name of the song is Whispering.
Oh. Miss, the name of the song is Whispering.
Oh, that's all right.
Okay, Don.
Take it, fellas.
Whispering while you cuddle me. Whispering so.
Gentlemen! Gentlemen, not so loud! This is the library!
Whisper seems to cheer me.
Don, please, it's embarrassing.
There's no one here but you. You're whispering while
you cuddle me. Gentlemen, you'll have to stop that! This is the library!
Why you never greet me.
Don, everybody's looking at
me. Say that to me. Whisper.
Don, this is embarrassing. Tell the boys to whisper.
Okay. Whisper it, fellas.
Don, I admire your loyalty, but don't you ever have the boys sing another song in the library.
Okay, Jack. Well, I'll see you later. So long.
Goodbye. I better apologize to the librarian. Miss, I'm awfully sorry about this disturbance.
Oh, that's all right. That's the most excitement we've had in this library since we put the Kinsey Report next to Forever Amber.
Well, I can imagine, huh? Well, I better go find a book to read. Gee, we must have thousands of books here. Let's see. Here's one. It Takes More Than Talent by Mervyn LeRoy. Yeah, I read that. It's very good. Something about me in it, too.
I wonder if that's the same Mervyn LeRoy that... No, no, I guess not. Here's another one. Return to Paradise by James Michener. Let's see what books they have under adventure. Hey, this book sounds exciting. How I Discovered the Insane Pirate's Buried Fortune. Or Dig That Crazy Treasure. Look at all the books on this shelf. They're all devoted to spaceships and interplanetary travel. I think I'll take this one. I Flew to Mars in a Spaceship. See, that sounds interesting. Maybe I'll sit down here and read it. I Flew to Mars in a Spaceship. Chapter 1.
My name is Commander Buzz Corey. This is the morning of my greatest adventure. Today I will leave in my new spaceship for the only remaining unexplored planet, Mars. Everything is in readiness for the perilous flight. I waited for my navigator to board ship, the beautiful Captain Tonga. Finally, she boarded and said...
Hello, Commander.
Hello, Tom.
As we readied ourselves for the flight, I couldn't help staring at her. She looked so beautiful and alluring in her new low-cut oxygen tank. Finally, I turned to her and said,
Tonga, let's make our last-minute checks before we blast off into space.
All right, Buzz. I'll call the items off. You check them on the chart. Power rockets.
Power rockets.
Stratosphere speed indicator.
Stratosphere speed indicator.
Liquefied jet fuel.
Liquefied jet fuel.
Buggy whip.
Buggy whip. Wait a minute. What are we doing with a buggy whip on a space rocket?
Somebody goofed.
Then Tonga threw the control switch and we were off. Terrific acceleration made us lose consciousness. And when we came to, we were in outer space. As Tonga navigated, I asked her questions.
What is the gravitational pull of the Earth now?
Zero.
And our speed?
I have her wide open. We're doing 99,000 miles per hour.
We should be doing 100,000. I wonder what's slowing us up.
You forgot to take the foxtail off the radiator cap.
Oh, yes. It cuts our speed, but it's sporty. Tonga, wait a minute. Why are you slowing down the ship?
There's a man standing up ahead with his hand extended.
Oh, yes. Slow it way down. I'll open the hatch door and talk to him. Hey, what are you doing out there?
I'm hitchhiking to Los Angeles.
Well, good luck. I'm going to Mars, but I'll be back in time for my television show.
Before we realized it, Mars began to loom up in our space scope. Now the crucial moment for landing was at hand.
Get the ship in landing position.
Landing position achieved.
Jettison the ballast.
Ballast jettisoned.
So far, we haven't loused up any of the words. Stop the ship. Old-fashioned sound man.
Tonga and I got out of the ship, the first Earthlings to land on Mars. As we walked around, we were amazed at the weird atmosphere. We saw a strange creature approaching us. There was life on Mars. As it came closer, I nervously gripped my disintegrator gun. Then this creature stopped, opened its mouth, and said...
Welcome to Mars.
We came from Earth. I am Commander Buzz Corey, and this is Tonga.
Tonga?
Yes.
As our spaceship flew over your planet, we didn't see any farms.
We have no farms.
Well, where do you raise your animals and vegetables?
Oh, we don't have none.
Well, for heaven's sakes, what do you eat?
Oh, we have plenty. We eat irradiated air, powdered uranium, condensed hydrogen, and Cimarron rolls.
I could see I would get nowhere with him, so I asked him to take me to his chief. A few minutes later, we found ourselves standing in front of the most important person on the entire planet. Deferentially, I bowed to him and said,
"Are you the leader of the Martians?"
"Today, yes, but I'm quitting your show tomorrow."
I stared at this Martian in amazement. On Earth, we had been led to believe that all living things on Mars had huge, tremendous heads. This one had no head at all.
You made a mistake coming here. We tolerate no strangers.
But we are friends.
Guards, get ready to kill these people.
You can't kill me. You can't! You can't! You can't!
Sir, you'll have to lower your voice. This is a public library.
Huh?
I said, lower your voice. This is a library.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was reading this book and was carried away. For a while, I was in the 25th century.
Then I was mistaken. You certainly do wear well.
Thank you. I'll take this book home with me. I'll finish it after I do my television show. Goodbye.
The Jack Benny Show on Tuned to Yesterday from August 23rd, 1953 on CBS. Bringing to an end this hour of classic comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.